Greetings. I'm Pastor Joel of Harp City Church. In chapter 4, James taught us to humble ourselves, and the Lord will exalt us. And he ended that chapter with a warning that failure to live in accord with what we know God calls us to do is sin. He wrote in verse 17, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This is the sin of omission. You see, sin is not only doing the wrong thing, it is also failure to do the right thing. And right after this, James addresses some rich people who are failing to do the right thing in chapter 5. James writes, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter." These are harsh words. This is a serious warning. Now, I've been asked, "Joel, who is this passage for? Is James addressing rich believers, or is it rich unbelievers, or is it both?" Well, there are good reasons to believe James is addressing believers. First, this letter is addressed to the 12 tribes. Who else would read or hear this letter except for believers assembled for worship? Second, we should remember there were rich brothers addressed in this letter. Back in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we find rich and poor brothers being addressed. Rich and poor being reminded of what they are supposed to boast in, the true treasure, Jesus Christ. Rich Christians need these warnings. And third, whether you're rich or poor, the reality is our hearts are a perpetual factory of idols. James said in chapter 4, we are driven by our passions. No Christian is completely immune to the sins that James describes here. Christians need these warnings. We can quickly forget the undertow of the world's treasures which threaten to sweep us away. So we must remain vigilant against the double-mindedness that pollutes the Christian life. Now, on the other hand, we find good evidence that James is speaking to unbelievers. First, he doesn't call them brothers. James has used this term, this Greek term adelphoi, over and over throughout this letter, a Greek word meaning brothers or brothers and sisters. Not here. Second, James tells them to howl, not to turn to God for mercy, to repent. Third, this passage is a last day judgment for those who live in the world. James gives no indication he is anticipating salvation for these folks, only judgment. And fourth, if you look ahead to the next section, verses 7-11, there's a remarkable contrast. After his condemnation of the rich who are oppressing the poor, James has gentle and affectionate entreaty in the following passage. He concludes his indictments of the evil of the rich, and then he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." This would seem to indicate James is exhorting believers who are victims of unjust treatment by the rich. So perhaps this passage is just the setup for the next. You're probably saying at this point, "Okay, Joel, you've made this really complicated. Thank you for that in my devotional. Are you ever going to land the plane? Is this message for us or for them?" And I will simply say this to you, my friend. If you are an unbeliever, why don't you choose to do the right thing? Repent and believe the gospel. Start using your wealth properly. How do I do that, Joel? Well, Calvin has said, "Well, God has not appointed gold for rust, nor garments for moths, but on the contrary, he has designed them as aids to human life. Use your wealth to love others." Second, if you are a believer, James' warning to the rich is actually irrelevant. We as Christians live for God, not for the world's riches. Calvin also says, "James has a regard to the faithful, that they, hearing of the miserable end of the rich, might not envy their fortune, and also that knowing that God would be the avenger of the wrongs they suffered, and they might with a calm and resigned mind bear them. In other words, regardless of whether James is speaking directly to folks in the church or speaking a judgment against those outside it, believers can learn by his grace that they have been called to be separate from the world. The message, the church, is that we are not to hoard the things of this world, because our true treasure is Jesus Christ. Remember who you are and who you belong to.